Welcome back to the grandstand, or should I say bienvenido, episode 35. Puchon here in the south of France and Noel's in California. What's going on?
Yeah, man. Episode 25. Cinco. Cinco? Check out that Spanish, y'all.
I could see that living in California is really changing you, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, totally. I can say 35 in Spanish. It's awesome. And I didn't even say Cinco right. I said Senko. Like,
yeah, you know, I give you an A for effort.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks. Gold star around here.
So second race of our triple header here, Mexico, always a great one. Did you see the rookies out on track this weekend?
There are quite a few.
Yeah.
There's quite a few.
I'm always excited about the junior racers. And yeah, Merck had Frederick Vesti out there. Courcher was out there for Alfa Romeo, didn't get a lap in because of technical difficulties, but Doohan was there for Alpine. Ollie Bierman, he was amazing for Haas, so remember that name in the future. And AlphaTauri throwing in Isaac Hatcher, French driver, who's going to make another appearance in Abu Dhabi. So always interesting to see how those rookies fare.
Yeah.
I don't think the teams really give them like too many tires, you know, to show their pace, but
they actually have to pay for them. Yeah, you can do this test, but you got to pay for the gas and you got to pay for the tires. So
it's going to be a half a mil for this weekend.
Oh shit, man. I haven't been paid recently. So no, it's always fun to see what those guys can do. Especially relative to the actual drivers. I mean, Jack Doohan's been doing a lot of the F1 TV pre and post race stuff, and he's a funny guy. I like him.
Yeah, he's got that Aussie banter.
Yeah. There's good the post race show him in DR3. You know, just having it out as Aussies do.
Yeah, there were three Aussies on track in FP1, which is kind of crazy.
Get him out of here. But yeah, well, I mean, I'm one to speak as the American on just Logan Sargeant, you know.
Really. Whoa, man, way to bring him in.
It's really repping the USA super well.
Other than the rookies, though, huge weekend, obviously. Big weight on Checo's shoulders coming into this weekend, and lots happened. We got a lot of drama. We had a lot of hope from Ferrari once again, and spoiler alert, hearts were broken once again.
Oops, shocker.
And the biggest shocker is that Max Verstappen took another win, his 16th of the year. But before we get into this race and a bit of the drama, it's time to roll that intro.
Roll it.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
All right, so we had another Max win here, his 16th of the year. Another record after winning 15 last year, but there was a bit of hope in the beginning. Like I said, Leclerc back-to-back pole positions for Ferrari, but once again, did not convert for the 10th consecutive time starting from pole.
When Charles got pole, I was like, giving it gives you guys so much hope. And I feel bad because it's like, you're not going to do anything with it right now. Like Ferrari's just not at the level. And I mean, realistically, you know, these last two races, I mean, it's got to be encouraging, but they don't have the race pace to compete up front.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. But as you said, like every time Ferrari gets a pole, not only was it a pole, there was a Ferrari front row lockout. We had Carlos Sainz in P2. And even though it's the longest stretch to turn one here of the year, I thought maybe Carlos could, you know, protect his team leader. But there was none of that because Max Verstappen and Red Bull are just beasts at the start, and they've got huge straight line speed. And we had Max basically taking both Ferraris at the start, and also Checo like rocketing from P5. But unfortunately, Checo pulled a little bit of a Hamilton in Qatar a couple of races back, where he sandwiched Leclerc between himself and his teammate, and ended up in tears for Checo there.
I mean, he was a dejected man. After that, once like after he,
sorry, Checo
pondering music.
Man, did you see how high that wheel, the back wheels went up?
Yeah, I mean he ejected his car from the racetrack.
I'm actually surprised he made it back to the pits. He, for a second, I thought, I mean, this would be wild if he could actually take the car back on track, but there's no way after such a big hit.
He tried. I mean, he got back to the pits, and he was, you know, banging on the steering wheel, and on the halo. And I mean, dude, like the pressure, obviously it's his home race. He wants to do well. And I genuinely think he let it get to him too much, too hard. Like where was the patience there?
I know. What's crazy is that he was in the lead for a minute there. For a couple seconds there. He had such a huge toe. I thought he might be able to pull it off. But then when I saw that he was turning in and I saw that Charles just had nowhere to go, I was like, oh, I thought they were all going to take each other out.
Going three wide into that turn, not a good idea.
Going three wide into, yeah, any turns with these big cars this year. I mean, ask Hamilton. I think in the cool down room, Hamilton was like, hey, that's what I did in Qatar.
Yeah. Hey, at least he you know, acknowledged it, right?
What do we think? Was that Checo kind of over optimistic, or is this come down to like you don't know what's going on the other side, so kind of impossible to tell, really?
I think he felt like he had a good car underneath him, obviously, with the Red Bull being what it is this year. I think he cracked under the pressure. I think he got too ambitious too early. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously Max is in such incredible form right now. It's kind of hard to say that Checo would have beat him. But, I mean, what imagine had that happened. But I think at the end of the day, Checo just got overzealous, wanted to prove, I think has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder right now. And that's what we saw.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't when you have such a car? Honestly, though, if he just gets out of that first lap and even P3, Red Bull has a 1-2 for sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that's exactly like, even if he didn't win the race, like I think he still would have been on the podium.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of Leclerc being booed. No, I mean, obviously I'm a Ferrari fan, so I never want to see that. But the Mexican fans were not happy with Leclerc at the end there in the post-race interview.
Yeah, it's just, it's silly. Like, there's no need for that. And also, like, most of it was completely Checo's fault. It was like, it's a slam dunk, yeah. You know? And at the end of the day, he DNF'd, didn't finish the race, and it was no one's fault except for his own.
Especially on a weekend where Danny Rick, I mean, we spoke about Danny Rick liking this track, but he was on it this weekend.
We spoke in last week's episode about how Danny Rick needed a result, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially post Austin. And God damn, dude, did he do it? I mean, that he went from a big handlebar mutton chop mustache to a little, like, you know, Super Nacho. Wait, it was a Jack Black movie. Nacho Libre mustache. I kind of wish he went even more pencil-y mustache on it. But
ooh, maybe for the French Grand Prix, if there was.
Yeah. Oui, oui.
Especially since he has his pinky out. I don't know if you saw, but he can't turn the wheel completely.
Yeah, everybody was busting his balls about it in the post race. They're like, are you about to eat some caviar and drink champagne? Like, what's the deal, bro? What are you drinking? What's in your drink?
But man, I honestly, when I was looking at free practice one, free practice two, free practice three, qualifying, and I was waiting for that moment where the top teams would put in times faster than Danny Ric, but he was consistently outpacing Yuki during practice and outpacing some big names in qualifying too. So I'm going to make a claim here. Done it before here. I've been wrong before, but I feel it this time. I think TR3 is back. I think he's back. And I think that unconsciously, he's also riding that wave. He knows that Checo's feeling the heat and he's loving it. He's loving it. And he's clearly positioning himself for next year, it seems. Now, a lot of rumor post-race that Checo's contract has been ripped for next year, which would be harsh.
I want to see if that's actually true. But if I were Checo, I'd be very nervous about, and I think we need to see a little bit more consistency from Danny Ric. Like, this is by and large like his best race result since I would go so far to say his win at McLaren.
Yeah, and some people are saying this is 2018 Danny Ric, back when he was almost in the run for the championship for, you know, the opening third of the year there when he won that Redemption Monaco race as well. But it feels good to see him back there. I don't know about Checo. I love the driver, but I'm finding it hard to defend him. And I also love Danny Ric. Yeah, tough times. We have three more races, and rumor has it that the decision's already made. So stay tuned for that.
Wow, the decision's already made. I think Checo keeps his seat, frankly. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see some helmet Marco fuckery next season. No, I'm serious, dude. I like genuinely, where, you know, we see some mid-season shifts if Checo doesn't put in the result. But I mean, Checo needs to be careful because at this point, that P2 in the drivers' championship is not looking secure.
No. So there's 20 points between himself and Hamilton, who finished P2. So yeah, let's give a quick rundown of the race results here. We had Max Verstappen in P1, Lewis Hamilton P2, starting in P6. So that was a really good drive from him. Leclerc and Sainz, which I think is a pretty decent result for Ferrari, given their tire deg and long run pace. Norris, Russell, Danny Ric, Piastri, Albon, and Ocon. Whew, okay. Ferrari didn't convert pole, but I don't know. I think I'll take it. I'll take a P3 and a P4 at this stage. We know that Red Bull is just unattainable, but I'm going to give a lot of credit here to Lewis Hamilton this race because the performance he put in, quite frankly, was probably, for me, along with Lando Norris, which we'll get into, one of the best drives I've seen this season. Congrats to you.
Thank you. I did so much. I really put in a lot of work for the Mercedes this weekend. I think especially after the whole incident last week in Austin, Lewis had a point to prove to say, like, okay, we got DQ'd for what I still think is a bit of an egregious infraction, but we don't have to get into that. The rules are the rules. It's fine.
I agree with you.
But I think he wanted to also come back and say, hey, look, like, all right, fine. We got DQ'd. We're going to come back and do it again. And guess what? He did. Put it in P2. Incredible drive from him. You know, and really was, I mean, there's some good wheel-to-wheel action too. You know, and I think we're seeing from Lewis why he is the driver, you know, why he is who he is.
100%. And I might have doubted Lewis and Merck over the last 18 months. I think last year I had my reasons for it. He really didn't look like he had the upper hand, but this year, there's something different. He has an edge over Russell, and especially since these last upgrades, he's driving differently. I can see the Lewis of old. I can see the motivation. And it's been two races. I was asking you in the chat, where's Russell been this whole weekend? But you reminded me, where's Russell been in the last few races?
I'm going to say this. I think Lewis is driving at a really, really high level right now, and George is just driving at a mediocre level. And because let's not say, I mean, George still finished in the points. Like, he still finished P6. So, you know, it's don't take that away from him. But at the same time, if we're really having a conversation about who's going to be challenging Red Bull in 2024, George is going to have to do a lot more than what he's been doing of late.
Merck was saying that Lewis just knows how to manage the tires, manage the engine cooling, all the basically general cooling way better. And that comes with experience. And yeah, it's definitely, you can see a gap there, because we had a red flag with Magnussen crashing because of a failure.
Which, by the way, thank God, that was a heavy, heavy hit. Yeah, with that was suspension breaking.
That was nuts, because he was turning right and all of a sudden the car just veered to the left.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see Max and Lewis's reaction. Everyone immediately said, oh, something broke on it. They knew, you know, I love how fine-tuned they are. But that was at the middle of the race, right? That was lap 35 of 71. And right. The difference between Russell and Hamilton at the checkered flag was over 41 seconds. Sorry, almost 30 seconds, which is huge. But hey, I'm not going to throw him under the bus yet, because we know what he's capable of. But I just want to give credit where it's due.
Yeah, well, I think that's worthy. I feel like George is also kind of in a position where he's like, I just want the season to be over at this point. he's like, let's get to next year. I think we'll see from George in the last three races some stronger results.
Yeah.
At least I hope so.
Yeah, we're going to where he won his first and only race last year this week. Yep. So, Brazil.
Which is also, yeah. Love this track. We're
going to do this weekend. A good track. So, yeah, so Russell finished P6 right in front of Danny Ric, which if it wasn't for that red flag, I think Danny Ric could have gotten P5 or P6 probably.
I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. His ability to just extract Danny Ric pace out of that car, which, you know, has been a back marker pretty much all season. And he even said, he was like, I feel like we could have challenged for had a little bit of wheel to wheel with Lando.
And, you know, we talk a lot about body language, looking at Checo after the race, obviously not in a great place, but Danny Ric's interview post race, he's a driver happy to be back, and he's where he belongs, right? So that's awesome to see. Also, I'm kind of shocked at the turn of pace that AlphaTauri has had since their upgrades. Clearly, Red Bull's taken over that, and it's just not good PR to have your team winning and then your junior team being the last in the championship. But
yeah, they're like, we need to do something about this. Here, take our stuff.
Can you please just take the stuff that we created, the best car ever made? Yes.
Exactly.
I will take it. Because now in the standings for the constructors, those points scored by Danny Ric has gotten AlphaTauri to P8 now. They're tied on points with Alpha at 16 points, but they moved from P10 to P8, and that's a difference of 20 million. So talk about earning your salary
there. No, yeah, dude, ain't no chump change.
But Lando Norris, man, P5, and that was a comeback race for him. He didn't he qualified a position. He lost positions at the restart, but he was a man possessed. I think I've never seen Norris pull such clinical, close wheel to wheel moves on such fast drivers.
Lando's drive this Sunday was impeccable. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, did he get driver of the day?
I think he did.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
we can check, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. If he didn't, that'd be a travesty.
Every time I saw the screens, he was down and he made up so many positions.
Yeah, he did get it from P17 to P5. Yeah. No, Lando. Oof,
damn.
That 12 positions?
Yeah. And jeez. Stella, who's worked with Alonso and Schumacher, says that it's one of the best race drives he's seen ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Wow. That's saying a lot.
Yeah, those are some pretty big drivers there.
Would you say it was his best drive ever? I'd probably have to say it is, right? Even though he didn't finish on the podium.
I think so. If he just made it to Q3, that battle between him and Hamilton would have been really good.
Oh, man. And honestly, definitely would have been on podium, barring there wasn't any incident on track. But who knows, man? I mean, at the restart, who knows what would have happened if Lando was in the mix there. Up at the front, I mean.
Yeah. That move on Danny Rick was was awesome. And that move, like from Hamilton on Leclerc, also with wheels off, like we had some pretty decent moves on a track where you can't really pass. Mexico delivered.
It did. It's always. I feel like Mexico is always kind of that track, though. I don't remember there not being a fun race, or like a snooze fest.
Also, because the fans are always they just give, like, there's always good ambience. There's people always showing up, and that stadium section is just wild. Like, that's definitely on the bucket list for me. One day to go to Mexico City, have some tacos, and go see that race.
Just go full Valtteri with it. He had a food truck. He had his own taco truck at the track this weekend.
Is Valtteri still a racing driver, or is he just like should he just start his taco / craft beer spot? You know, somewhere
he
works in Melbourne,
exclusively in food and beverage now, and he being an F1 driver is a hobby.
Yeah, he I think he roasts his own coffee. He has his own gin brand, and clearly he's been researching
He's got his own wine.
He's got his own wine as well. Damn, he's ready, man.
Someone's getting ready to
retire.
I was gonna say the R word is lurking around a corner.
Yeah, I thought Alfa Romeo had some pace early in the weekend, and they kind of fell off once again.
It did.
But you know who didn't deliver this weekend? In the end, Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, man.
Man.
Yuki looked straight up shook after the race. He was like, oh, fuck.
he couldn't blame anyone else for once, I feel. It's unfortunate because he did show some pace, and that move that he pulled, who was it? I was on Piastri, right? Where he did that move from the outside coming in, and I think he threw out a lot of curse words at first, but then he realized, ooh, that was probably his fault.
Well, not only that, he was flicking people off left and right, you know, doing Yuki shit.
Yeah, just beat Yuki. But hey, man, with the pace they have, I wouldn't be surprised if they get some more points and maybe some double points in the next few races.
Danny Rick is trying to assert himself at that team. So I think that also has to be part of where Yuki's coming from, is just like, all right, well, Danny Rick's here and he just put it in a really good drive for P7. Meanwhile, like, where have we been this season? Or, you know, just as a team. So, and especially if Danny Rick's results are allowing them to move up the constructor standings and win $20 million. It's like
pocket change.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, but speaking of points, Albon, third time in a row. And you know what? If you're a betting man this weekend, I thought Albon was going to get a top five, because I don't know if you saw free practice. He was in the top three for the last two free practice. And all of a sudden qualifying, I think track conditions like went away from the Williams, and I think he messed up his qualifying. He should have made it to Q3, but yeah, off the pace. But Albon being Albon, I don't know what to say. So,
can I say something about Albon? I think if we're talking about, I mean, obviously Max is having the season of a lifetime and driving at an absurd level. So I think, you know, Max has to take the cake there. But if I were to, have someone ask me who's having one of the best seasons of their career, I think it's Alex Albon.
It's wild, yeah.
And granted, like he's in a Williams, he's not at the top of the grid, but I think the way that he's shown leadership at that team, he's put in some really strong race results, has helped Williams get off the bottom of the F1 barrel, and actually
compete. Yeah,
compete. Is impressive, and especially in the way that, and obviously he's had more experience than Logan Sargeant, but you know, in the way that he's really dominated his teammate this year is impressive too.
I was worried when Russell moved over to Merck what Williams would do, but it seems like they found the perfect replacement driver and a driver that could lead their team if they start finding in the midfield and for a podium soon, which, hey, we're all hoping for. Who was not fighting for a podium this weekend was a certain double world champion that claimed that he would be on the podium for the rest of the season in Montreal. Fernando Alonso, I don't think I remember seeing such a bad weekend from Fernando over his F1 career. And Aston was just, I feel like I didn't even see them this weekend. They were just in the back every single time.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking before we started recording just about both Lance and Fernando's post-race interviews. And I think there's a bit of confusion. And especially Lance. I mean, Lance looks confused all the time, and he looks more confused than he.
Lance looks like he's high all the time.
Yeah, like, dude, are you here? Are you with us, bro? Like,
snap out of it, bro. Come on.
Yeah. Come back down, man. Are you just, you're thinking about what your dad might do to you later. Sorry, that's not nice. Anyway. I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like every week we bring it up, but you know, the Canada curse that that moment just will be playing in my mind till next season starts.
Yeah, you love that too, because
I mean, where they've been nowhere. It's fucking crazy.
They scored no points this weekend. Ooh.
Fernando said in his post race interview something to the extent of, you know, we didn't have a great weekend. There's a, you know, the good thing though is that these challenges present opportunities to learn and grow. And you're like, Fernando Alonso 10 years ago would have been just absolutely tearing apart his team.
Yeah. Also 10 years ago, he probably thought he could get another seat. I think this is his last chance.
Yeah. So he's like, I can't say too much because.
Yeah, let me sugarcoat this and say that Lance Stroll is doing a great job, an amazing job. Yeah.
I don't know about that, Fernando.
The only thing I can think of is that they might have went the wrong direction with their update package from last week, and now they're just clearly giving up on this year and focusing on next year. But if that's a good thing or not, yeah, only time will tell. But yeah, it's... that beginning of the season where Alonso had 6 podiums in 8 races seems very, very far away.
Yeah, it really does. But one thing I do want to also mention is just, you know, last week I asked a question, you know, will the real Alpine please stand up? And once again, it's just like Ocon got points, right? But I'm still like baffled by who this team is.
And I can't really help you there.
Why not? You live in France. Can't you talk to them?
Hopefully it's not because they're French, because that would be, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're part British operation. So
true.
Not totally French.
Just to remind people that this is the team with which Alonso won his 2 titles. So they're no stranger to winning. It's just been a while.
I mean, I would say that they are strangers to winning.
they are now.
Yeah.
Maybe they've forgotten how to win. You know, that can happen.
Hey, you know who they should bring back? Old Flavio.
Honestly, I'd love to see Flavio back.
Oh man, that'd be a trip.
We all like a comeback story.
We do.
What do we think of Ocon calling his move on Hulk during the race before it happened, trying to flex, but it was like the weakest flex that I've ever seen?
I don't know. Esteban Ocon is not a, like, he thinks that he's being cheeky and like and funny, but it never really lands.
He thinks he's tough, right? But he's not.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, man. You got kind of like a squeaky voice and I don't know,
like, dude, yeah.
And like when people come after you, kind of like back down a little bit, but Pierre's tough to me. Like Pierre's tougher if we're talking toughness on 2 drivers. But
yeah, I'll tell you what though, once again, I thought those two were going to come together because they're really close, and before the red flag they were within like 5/10 of each other, and Pierre got fucked by the red flag. So once again, team dynamics pretty funny there. Ocon gets that point that that should have gone to Gasly. I would have loved to see a bit more wheel to wheel with those two, because you never know what can happen. But yeah, that about wraps it up for the points in Mexico. Quite a good race. Obviously, we didn't speak about Max that much, but he didn't put a foot wrong. He equaled Alain Prost with 51 race wins in F1. So that's another milestone. I feel like every week he's beating records, and it's crazy, it's amazing, man. But I have nothing to say. He was just on it. Nothing much to report.
You know, I think my biggest, I'm looking forward to Brazil this weekend.
Yes.
I'm definitely looking forward to Vegas, and then we could just skip Abu Dhabi and get to 2024.
Abu Dhabi will be an out of office response from Knowles when I'm,
I'm not even going to show up for, I'm not even going to show up for the episode.
Fucking Knowles is already on winter holiday
for the grandstand.
All right. So points on the grandstand championship. We basically covered each other for P1 and P2, Max and Hamilton. So the gap is still at 20 points, 356 to 336 in my favor. And going to Mexico, it is your turn to go first, sir.
Going to Brazil.
Like
going to Mexico.
Man, I just want to go to Mexico so badly. Yeah.
You can go, man. It's there.
Going to Brazil.
Let's go into Interlagos. Definitely a top track on the calendar. Incredible memories from this track. I think we could see a really strong weekend for Mercedes. I wouldn't say this is one of Max's favorite tracks as far as performance goes. Lewis loves this track. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm saying, all right, Max gets pole, but I think Lewis wins this race.
Ooh.
If there's one place where he could do it, I think it's either between here or Vegas, I think, but or both. Who knows? And I'm gonna say,
why Vegas? Just because.
I don't know. I'm just he seems really stoked on that race. That's my only the only thing that's giving me any sense of confidence there. Max P2. I'm going to go Lando on the podium in P3. Checo P4. Checo needs to finish this race and he needs to get points. And I'm going to go with Piastri in P5. I think we're going to see a strong weekend from him.
Still no Russell in your top five, I see.
No, man. Gromo. Lance. I mean, arguably Yuki's moment wasn't a Gromo, but it was definitely a what the fuck moment from him. I did put him as my Gromo last week.
Yeah, it was more of a what the fuck moment. I do feel that Yuki had a very strong weekend because he did have an angel penalty, so it's just like it just didn't put it together in the end. But okay, those are some pretty strong predictions there. I think we're going to have a surprise poll in Brazil, and I'm going for Norris on pole.
Wow.
I think Verstappen wins the race. I think Hamilton finishes second. Norris P3. I think Piastri P4 and Perez P5 with the Gromo going to Russell, because I'm going to try something new here.
Man, dude. I almost went George Russell, because when you said Gromo, you're like, oh, so no Russell on your top five. I was like, well, he's still going to make my list, which is not in the best way.
This could see a huge swing in points here, man, for one of us. Oof, could have been.
This is the season right here, actually.
Yeah.
If it's going to come down to this, and I'm a little nervous with my choices. I'm not
Russell, please spin off on the formation lap for me. I know you have it in you.
No, he doesn't. He's
no. Watch him win the race again. Let's remind everyone he won last year.
Yeah. There's also a reason why Roman Grosjean doesn't have a seat in any category at the moment. So
unless he wins that lawsuit, but
whatever.
Last question here. Do you think Felipe Massa is showing up this year at Interlagos?
He's not going to be allowed anywhere near the Mercedes garage, I'll tell you that.
He's like, hey guys, remember that letter I sent out? I still haven't gotten a response.
McLaren garage. McLaren's probably like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's kind of like, yeah, you don't want to be seen with him at all because it's bad PR right now.
It's crazy. I mean, I wonder if even because he's been doing, you know, pre and post race stuff with Formula One TV. I wonder if they're even going to allow him to do that. I doubt it, right? Because it's just having him around is a bit of a controversy.
Yeah, we have to find. Hey, bring Rubens Barrichello back. He'd be good.
I love Rubens. Yeah, yeah. Rubens is like the next to Fred Vasseur. He's like the happiest guy in motorsport.
Yeah. Bring him back for Interlagos. He was always strong there, and obviously big in the Ferrari days. But yeah, man, third race of this triple header. Then we'll get a little break before the final stretch of the season here. Anything else before we sign off here Brazil?
Well, I'm excited for Brazil. Like I said, always a crowd pleaser this race. We're gonna see Lewis try and speak some Portuguese as an honorary citizen. And no man, let's do it.
Yeah, it's going to bring out the Brazilian flag and everything. Yeah. So that wraps it up for Mexico. If you're not already, follow us on social media at the Grandstand F1, Instagram or Twitter.
And if you're not already doing it, give us a follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are available.
We'll see you after Brazil.